Hey, welcome back here to very definitely wrap up KER politics. I'm going to talk in this last segment with Dan Passeni about the Aubrey trial down in Atlanta. Proven guilty, civil situation, in my opinion. Was he guilty? I wasn't there. All I know is a jury of peers said that he was after listening to all the evidence. All that I know is that there was no rioting afterwards. All that I know is that the three of them were proven guilty, and I think life is going to go on, unfortunately, not too well for those guys. Give me some of your comments on that trial, Dan.
Well, this gets back to what I was saying in the earlier segment, that we have to treat these as different cases because they all are different cases. They all have a different set of facts.
Right.
In the Rittenhouse case, it was clear self-defense and he was about to be killed or at least severely harmed. In this case, you have three men surrounding one person. Now, I don't know, and the person's accused of theft. Well, you know, we don't kill people over property crimes, over theft. That's not what we do in this country, and we treat people fairly. If they had roughed him up a little bit in apprehending him and they had good reason for it or something like that, you know, I think the court's going to probably give him some leeway that you're able to make citizens arrests and things like that. But they shot and killed him. And, you know, so it's a very different case. They were looking at a very difficult thing to defend. And I didn't watch the details as closely as I watched the Rittenhouse case. So, I couldn't make a judgment about that. But they're such totally different cases that these people, I had a hard time seeing facts that allowed three people to go after one guy and ultimately shoot him. Because you'd have to make a case for self-defense, you'd have to make a case that this guy was able to manhandle all three guys with trucks. And, you know, it just wasn't real. So, you have to trust our juries. Sometimes the juries get them wrong. You know, I've watched trials and I thought, no way could they come down with that. But this case looked bad at the beginning. I don't know how these guys could defend themselves. You shouldn't take the law into your hands in most cases. In this case, if you think somebody stole something, if it looks like it's going to get violent, you back off. And that's what they should have done.
Well, that's true. They should have. I think that, however, I mean, the one comment I made during a daily editorial last week, man, is you had the whole crew down in Atlanta. You had the Reverend Al Sharpton and everybody else. I think maybe in this case, that was a little bit of overkill. That proves that they don't trust the system. But the system did come through, I have to say. A jury of these guys' peers considered them to be guilty, and it's going to be damn tough, in my opinion, to turn that particular segue, for lack of better terms, polite terms.
I got to tell you, this whole idea of white supremacy and systemic racism, we got to really rethink that. In the Rittenhouse case, for example, going back to that, three white people were shot, two white people were killed, and they didn't win in court.
Right.
So
right.
The systemic racism that people see, or white supremacy, it didn't exist there. And it certainly didn't exist in the Aubrey case either. So these guys, they got virtually all the counts, but there were a couple counts that a couple guys didn't get charged with, but they're going to prison for the rest of their lives. So, and I think that's the case in virtually everywhere. Now in this country, have we had people convicted who weren't guilty? I'm sure we probably have. Has the country changed dramatically? Yes, it has. And the country ought to start getting some credit for that. It's a substantially different country than it was 60 years ago, 150 years ago. It's a substantially different country.
Of course it is, Dan. Of course it is. It's a very, very different country, and that's what I wanted to get into. I agree with you 100%. I mean, when you look at America today, I mean, I've got a few years on you, not as many as I used to have because I'm getting younger, but I got to tell you, when you look at America in, let's say, the 50s, the early 60s, we had problems in the 60s. We had very differing opinions among people on the Vietnam War, etc., etc. But the differing opinions have escalated to the point right now where you can take virtually almost any political occurrence that's happening right now, and probably that's happened in the last 10 or 20 years, you can take almost anyone, and you can any one of them, and you can be guaranteed that you're going to have 50% of the country violently for a situation, and you're going to have 50% of the country violently against a situation. And I think, unfortunately, the primary reason that that's occurring is that I think the nationalists are simply attempting to be on one side because they're making more money, it's better for them, and the globalists are totally on the other side. Virtually every situation, I think it's really come down to that. Give me your opinion. Maybe I'm being a little nebulous in my comment, but give me your opinion.
Well, I think the right believes in a country, the whole idea of a nation with right. borders and language and customs and everything else. The left, much of the left, I mean, I got to believe there's some normal ones in there, but much of the left hates this country. It's evident every day. It's evident in the laws they try to pass. It's evident in the things that they look the other way on. It's evident in their comments. They hate this country, so they must destroy it. And they have to destroy it from the roots. They have to make sure we have no borders. They have to make sure we can't use a common language. I mean, look at this language we have now. Everybody's afraid to speak. We're afraid we're going to offend some gender or somebody's issue with sex or race or something. Nobody can talk to one another because they've decided, listen, let's just make sure we put everybody into their own little group and we aren't part of a larger thing that we call a country. And they've been doing this for some time. It's their mission. Now, they've gotten exposed here lately, and the people are starting to rise up. They don't like it. And so they're finding that a lot of their views are not popular. So now they've got to rethink what they're doing. They're going to lose some elections here. But that's where we are. We have to watch the left. They're very dangerous. I hate to say it. I have friends that are on the left, and I love them awful, but their views are really anti this country. And for those of us who really love the country, and love the history of the country, don't like aspects of it that weren't good, but we love the fact that we've come through a lot and we've tried our best to be a good and strong nation, and a nation that's a guiding light for other nations. But we have to be a nation, and that requires borders, and it requires a language, and it requires a common view of things. And the left doesn't like that. So they're gradually tearing everything down, statues, everything, they're burning up our cities. I mean, how could you honestly support these riots that have happened?
It's pretty hard. For me, it's very, very difficult to do. And I don't understand. My comment to Jim frequently is, in an aggregate sense, I simply don't understand why the Democrats are officially going in that direction. I mean, Alexandria Cortez and her cohorts, for lack of better terms, I don't even take them as being serious human beings. But when you look at somebody like Joe Biden, for example, and when you look at somebody like Kamala Harris, who is a relatively serious human being, I can't understand why they're going in that direction, because that direction is simply doomed to failure. They cannot win. Dan, I got 50 seconds. Wrap it up, will you?
Well, I've said before, these are twin mediocrities, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. They don't really know what they're doing. I'm unimpressed with them. You listen to them talk. If they ask them a question, if the media asks them any kind of question, they don't really have a good answer. They're being pushed and pulled by various people, and they're weak people. They're politicians. They like the position. They like the perks that come with it. But they're not people that you take seriously. You're not going to get original opinions out of any of these people.
But what I would like to say as a very important point here is it's a damn shame that you can't take them seriously. They didn't get to where they were because they were just stupid folks. You know, Biden, you got to admit, has had a relatively average, but not a non-successful career necessarily, and I would say the same probably with Harris. I don't approve of their methods, but it's just an absolute shame to me that people like that are taken seriously by at least 50% of the population. Mr. P, thank you so much.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.